of home were burning brightly when I left so long ago.
You're listening to Can't Do Nothing With Love, an award-winning short story collection written and read by Ellen Morris Pruitt. Today's episode features Baby Dog, Pee Wee Ned, and the Devil's Naked Butt. Providence and I were dancing. We called it playing Baby Dog. She tucks her head underneath my chin, holds onto my chest with her paw. When we waltzed into the kitchen, and there was the devil. Baby Dog did not stir. She isn't a sentinel. She's a Yorkie. Mr. D was offering fried eggs sunny side up, but I wasn't biting. I couldn't make him leave, because I'd foolishly invited him across my threshold, but I did not have to eat his runny eggs. The trouble started earlier that summer, about a month after my mom died for cancer and left me living alone, my dad long dead. Friday night, I was at the 80s dance party held down on Lamar for the Memphis Museum's Young Adult Outreach Program. The DJs were playing the music and strobing the lights when I gave in to the rhythm of Jungle Boogie and joined the chicks on the dance floor, the tangle of girls squirming like worms on the sidewalk after a hard rain, boofing their hair and sticking their boobs at the guys sitting passive. I planted myself in the middle of the group, whipping my hair, snapping my fingers. I shook my booty with the best of them. Then the music paused, and the dance floor morphed into sweaty silence and shuffling feet, and even with all the blue curacao in me, I was embarrassed for myself. I returned to my table, but while I'd been up on the dance floor playing the fool, the devil had made himself at home. Slicked hair, crossed legs, he was seamless. And intent on me, he clicked his fingernails on the tabletop, and the puckered shirt I'd nabbed from my mom's closet smoothed into sleek, black satin. I was enthralled, ready for more, but the devil drifted away, his tail disappearing into the writhing mass of dancing chicks. Discomforted, I wandered outside onto the lawn to grab a cigarette. There in the evening's wet grass, I listened to the remnants of the music from the decade when I still had two parents, when we were a young family, all living together in our blue-painted house on Divine Street. In front of me, the traffic on Lamar slid by like the long, low notes on the piano. In the midst of the rusting Cadillacs and bouncing Bonnevilles was a sparkling white pickup truck. In the cab, between his mom and dad, sat a man whose head was too small and narrow for his grown body. The man bent his little head forward like good things were coming his way. He was 40, maybe 45 years old, and riding happy down Lamar. The light on the corner changed. The white pickup slowed, stopping in front of me. The copacetic man looked left, right, twisting his thin head like someone had wrapped his head tight when he was a baby, then set him aside, half forgotten, making me want to name him Pee-wee Ned, after my dad's babyest brother, who was too small for his size and always got taken care of so he wouldn't end up lost in the shuffle. And, oh, Lord, how I wanted to be that contented man, waiting patiently for the light to change so I could get chugging along again under the care and protection of my watchful mom and dad. It was more than I could take. I returned to the dance. The DJs, never known to be slaves to the honored decade, had switched to Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog. The devil was lounging at my table, busy in conversation with the guy who'd introduced himself to me earlier. "Rice," he said, as in instant. The devil was smiling, smug, taking credit for every good thing that ever existed in childhood. Rice was asking, incredulous, "Krispy Kremes? Putt-putt golf?" I'd read enough of the Bible to know Mr. D was ad-libbing, but Rice was taking it in hook, line, and sinker. Rice stared into his half-full drink and moaned, "Times are bad." Mr. D winked in my direction, and I, filled with envy of the contented man in the pickup truck, joined in. "Waffle House, too," I said, because their jukebox loud, syrupy sweet, 24-hour cheerfulness could only come from the man down under. But being in cahoots with the devil was no laughing matter. Rice stared at me, appalled. The tabletop under his idle hands shuddered from plastic laminate to gold leaf, to flamed mahogany, wormy chestnut, curling burl. Music thumped through the cavernous room, stuttering furniture, mixed up notes, crazy light shows. Was this hell? The devil, who acted like he could read my mind, shrugged, said, "That old black magic, you know." That's when I invited him home. Baby Dog met us at the door, licked the devil's toenails, licked up his leg and the pointed tip of his tail, too, sneezed three times, shook her head, and waddled back inside. The devil hesitated at the threshold. "May I come in?" he asked, not polite, as I soon realized, but requesting the invitation that made me powerless to kick him out. "Please do." I wasn't paying attention, wondering instead if I'd made up my bed that morning. It didn't matter. The devil doesn't do sex. He just wrangles an invitation, sets up shop in your home, then tries to make it impossible for you to have any happiness whatsoever. My love life. The phone would ring. It would be Rice, trying to follow up on dance night. The devil would start moaning in the background. "Times are bad!" And Rice would hang up, knowing he'd been beaten to the punch. Food. I'd be fixing my mom's pot roast, but it would frazzle, so I'd call the pizza boy. But when he handed over the pie, the devil would curl his tongue and make the mushrooms blossom into the true fungus they were. Clothing. I'd search through my mom's closet, trying on shirts and skirts, but every time I put together an outfit I liked, the devil would flip his tail, and the clothes would change into something tight and clingy and puke green hideous. I was getting desperate. My hip bones were protruding. When I lifted the drapes to my nose and sniffed, sulfur. My only distraction was waltzing with baby dog. At night, when the devil was busy scraping his fingernails across the upstairs wall, I'd take baby dog into the living room and curl her against my chest. Together we'd do the slow dip and swirl of my parents' long-ago Friday nights. The music would waft from the speakers and my parents would return, the two of them swaying, my mom's fingertips resting lightly on my dad's shoulder, my dad's head bent gently in her direction. Toddling close, I'd reach. Sometimes mom, sometimes dad, they'd bend and lift me up and hold me between them, and I'd snuggle while the silky notes clung to the evaporating air. In real life, after a few spins and dips, baby dog would get restless, and I'd have to set her on the floor. Soon, I began to notice whenever I released baby dog back to her normal life, she'd waddle around and paw the notches Mr. D's cloven feet had left in the carpet. I stood over the path of indentations. The man himself was in the shower, singing Roy Orbison. As he yodeled, I crouched low, got down to baby dog's level. I studied the imprints. There, embedded in the carpet fiber, were memory's love blossoms. Tiny, satiny petals, strewn through the devil's footsteps, like a red-hooved flower child at a wedding. Upstairs, the shower cut off. The stall door squeaked open. "Francis?" the man called. I picked up baby dog and waltzed her through the den, into the dining room, back to the living room. "Made of memories, aren't you?" I sang out. Providence, tired of the baby dog routine, wiggled from my arms, squatted on the floor and licked herself. The D-man, called out for what he was, appeared in the living room, suitcase in hand. Huffing smoke, he snarled, "You're on your own, then." The closing door spanked him on his naked red butt. Meanwhile, Providence and I, just as happy as two squids, waited for Mr. Times or Bad to call so we could share our newfound happiness with him. After all, the devil had been sitting at Rice's table, too. Thanks for listening. An earlier version of Baby Dog, Pee-wee Ned, and the Devil's Naked Butt originally appeared in print in the Hurricane Review. To contribute to Door of Hope, a charity dedicated to ending homelessness, please follow the link at can'tdonothingwithlove.wordpress.com or visit doorofhopememphis.org. Message me on Facebook at Can't Do Nothing With Love. Our music, The Lights of Home, was written and sung by Mr. Rob Pate. Rock on, Rob.
Oh, he's the light of home. Thank you. Thank you very much.